victory over death. And this week we're going to be studying victory through grace. Victory through grace. And this is such a crucial topic. If we could really, really grasp God's grace, it would give us such a peace. If we really could, through faith, accept God's grace. I struggle with that a lot myself, accepting God's grace and his love. Because we are so unworthy, we are so undeserving. And sometimes it's so hard, the devil will tell you, well, he does not love you. He is finished with you. But if we could just understand God's grace, amen, it would make such a tremendous difference in our lives. And so that's what we're going to look at this week, today, is how God gives us victory through his grace. Because it's not of works, the Bible says, lest what? Anyone should boast. It's not because I am so good, or it's not because I have been to a certain school. It's none of those things. It's totally God's love and grace. It's like I've always said, you know, when a baby is born, you know, any of you parents here? Anyone? Well, I know you mothers were there at the birth. I hope so. Wait, let me get this set up here. I'm always not quite technically the way I should be, but let me get this going. Okay. Sorry, that date is wrong. Didn't change the date. Okay. Our focus verse is Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's victory right there, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, in this present world. So, as I was saying, it's hard sometimes to, if you're honest with yourself, understand how God can still love you. The times we have failed him so many times. But if we can grasp God's grace truly, that's really something powerful, and I hope to be able to bring that out today. Amen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's what brought salvation. It wasn't the law. All the law did was show us how messed up we are and how we could not actually keep all of God's commandments. You know, the Pharisees thought that they were doing it just because to the outward man they kept the Sabbath, they did all of the ceremonies. But Jesus really took it one step and revealed truly that it was really what you thought even. Even he said to look at a woman with lust was a sin. Not even the actual action. And that shows you how far we are from being perfect in our flesh. But let's go on and look at some of these scriptures here. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You know, the knowledge of God does not come straight away the first time we're baptized. That it's a growth. We're on a journey. It's not yet a destination. We're heading towards heaven, but we haven't reached there yet. And so, yes, on this journey, sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we may get diverted. In the story that is very famous, Pilgrim's Progress, by John Bunyan, in the story, this man called Christian is on a journey to the heavenly city. But just as in life, something happens where he gets diverted into what he thinks is an easier path and gets captured and put in this place called Doubting Castle. And he's held there by this giant. And sometimes we get held for maybe weeks or months in a certain place where we're stuck, where we're just like Abraham. We don't seem to be making any spiritual progress. And he's held in this castle in the story called Doubting Castle for a long time until he finds a key, and the key is called promise. Isn't that awesome? Because the Bible said that we have been given abundant and exceeding and precious great promises. And he uses the promises, the word of God, to escape Doubting Castle. And sometimes that's what we got to do. We can't see our way out, but we have been given promises by God. And if we do that, according to Peter, it says, but grow in grace. That means the more we start to believe God, the more we start to accept his word, that knowledge of how God can keep us and direct our path will actually help us to grow. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Now in Ephesians, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that an awesome scripture? And yet, it's not something we can easily understand, because when Jesus was coming out of the water, the voice from heaven said what? This is my beloved son. It's hard to think of, and I know I say it a lot, of accepting that we can be his beloved daughter, his beloved child, his beloved son. But this is what grace does. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, he made us accepted in the beloved. If we could understand that it's through grace we become his beloved. Not just loved, but beloved. You talk about your beloved as if it's your intimate partner, right? Your intimate partner is your beloved. God tells us that through grace we become his beloved. Ooh, if we could really grasp that, if we could really get that down here, that we are his beloved, that would give us such power, and it would give us victory. We would tell Satan, hey, I don't care what you say. I don't care what I'm going through. I am his beloved. I am his child. I don't care what has happened in my past. Through grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. And when we can get that down in here, when we can, as they say, internalize that and understand that we are his beloved, that would give you such strength. I know I say this a lot, but it's such a key. If you are in Doubting Castle, you need a promise. You need a promise. If the Satan has locked you up for a while and made you start to doubt and feel, you know, as if God has left you and you've been forgotten, you need a key. And the key in the book and the story was the key promise. He found a key, and the key helped him escape Doubting Castle. God has given us so many promises of his love. He's told us so many times. In fact, we must hurt his feelings through our unbelief. Because it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein or through he hath made us accepted in his beloved. You know, sometimes you may not feel beloved. Maybe the world has rejected you. Maybe family has rejected you. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've gone through some things which the devil will come to try and destroy your faith, to let you feel as if there is no hope. But if you could understand that this is the victory, hallelujah, through Christ, through his grace, by his grace, that we can have victory. The scripture says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. I'm glad it's not of me, because I'm so sometimes messed up, you know, in my flesh, in doubting God sometimes. But he still loves us. It's like, those of you who have had a good parents, there's nothing that the devil could tell you to say. There's nothing the devil could tell me to let me doubt that my parents loved me. Why? Because they have done so much for me. God has done so much for me. There's nothing the devil can do to let that feeling, that thought that God loves me. Amen. So we have to have our foundation on the fact that we are accepted in the beloved. Let's go on a little bit. I said that this is victory by his grace. Let's see what Paul says in Romans 3:24. Yet now God, in his gracious kindness, and this is a modern translation, declares us not guilty. Declares us not guilty. You ever been feeling the devil been beating you up and accusing you and making you down? Paul says that it's through his grace he declares us not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. If I'm not guilty, then I can come to him boldly. Hallelujah. And how has he done this? Through Jesus Christ. That's why I said it's victory through Jesus Christ by his grace. Yet now God, in his gracious kindness, and this is a modern translation, declares us not guilty. If God declares something, anyone going to change it? Can it be overturned?
No, if God declares you not guilty, man, you are not guilty. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Isn't that awesome? I know I say this every Sunday, but it's so important to build our faith, to understand, to be victorious. We must first believe. The Bible says those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. How do we diligently seek him? Through his word. Prayer. 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 Now, the devil will fight you trying to pray. Did you know that? As soon as you decide to pray, the phone will ring, right? Or something will come to distract you. But if we would be diligent, and I'm not saying prayer by asking for things, but just prayer in saying, Lord, I love you. How are you doing this day? Lord, I want to draw closer to you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness. How long could we pray just thanking God? Amen. How long could we pray just thanking God? Just start to think back in your life, the times when he has delivered you, the times when it looked hopeless, when he has come through, when he has saved you. See, this is how we get the victory, when we start to remember his, the Bible says here, yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus. That's why I said victory through Christ by grace, who has freed us by taking away our sins. By taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy, it says, God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. And that's in the NLT, the New Living Translation. And I put it in this translation because it brings it home in such a more closer way. It says, his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. I tell you what, if we could just live at that place, we'd be smiling all the time. Amen. We'd be smiling all the time. I was praying with someone the other day, last week, and I said, close your eyes. And they had a specific issue they wanted me to pray with them about. And I said, now I want you to visualize going before this judge and him declaring it. And you start getting it. And, you know, I knew this happens because it happens with me too. He started smiling. He didn't even realize he was smiling. Had his eyes closed, and he started to smile. I said, you can see it? And he says, yes, I can see it. And you see, this is what we have to do when we pray. Start to visualize what it is we want God to do for us. And when we get to that point where our faith organ, our imagination is starting to visualize it, then we're going to have it. Amen? Because it's when our faith rises to where we can almost see the thing by faith. The Bible says that's the substance of things not seen with the natural eyes. Then it will be fulfilled. Now, we can't do that if we're letting the world kind of flood our senses. That's why when we want to imagine something, we usually do what? Close our eyes. Maybe that's why today when we pray, we close our eyes. But this is what God has called us to, is to start to believe that we get victory through his grace. I just love the way it puts it. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. Amen. If you've been declared not guilty, raise your hand. Amen. Now, this means you can walk out the court. Did you know that? That means the judge hits the gavel and he says, dismissed. Dismissed. No charges. Victory by his grace. This is how we're going to overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. When we then, the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right? And the testimony is, he's declared me innocent. Amen. Blameless through Christ. We get victorious. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. You know what? But I don't want to live on the past victories. I know he's setting me up for a new one. I'm looking for a new victory. Amen. Because Satan will come and he will want to destroy your faith and take away all your joy. Amen. But this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that faith is in believing that God has given us grace, unmerited favor. Okay. Now, I said that this week we're studying how we get victory through Christ by grace. And the thing is, it's his grace that enables salvation. Galatians 1:15 says this, but when it pleased God, this is Paul writing to the Galatians, it says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Everyone that's here today, you're not here by accident. You have been called by grace. That means unmerited favor. That means God's love. That means his goodness, his kindness, unmerited favor. We were doing our own thing at one point in this world, but God reached out through grace, unmerited favor, and has been wooing us. Paul here says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. It's totally through grace that we are saved. Therefore, the true victory is by God's grace, his love. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. Yes. Not according to our works. Not because I was good. Not because I was smart. Not because I was specially kind to animals. No. It wasn't anything good that I did. Totally his grace. Totally his love. Paul writing to Timothy explained, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now that word holy just means separated. Yes. That means a set apart. That means dedicated to God. Yes. He hath called us to a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a plan to save you. God had a purpose to save you. That we taught a couple weeks ago about making our calling and election sure. When we have been given grace, when we have been given mercy, then we should use it. We have the choice. Or else, you know what happens a lot of times when people have been incarcerated and they've been given mercy, they go before the parole board and the parole board says, you know, we're going to release you early. We're going to set you free early. The trouble is a lot of people reject the grace. And you know what happens? They go back into the same mess that got them where they were. I was talking to someone and I was telling them, listen, you know, when you get free, you're going to have to do a lot of changes. It says a holy call. That means if you hang around with the same group, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get back to the same place you were. It's a crazy person does the same thing and expect a different result. But when God shows us grace, we went before his parole board and he says, you know what? We're going to issue you a complete pardon. We're going to clear the slate. But that means that we have been called to a holy call. That means we've got to be separate. That means we can't go back to the same circle. Because if we do, we'll end up doing the same things. So when grace is extended, the Bible says that the grace of God hath appeared to what? All men. But what happens is not all men respond. Not all women respond. God's grace is not, he's not showing favors. The grace of God, Paul says, has appeared to all men, teaching them. But not everyone responds. Not everyone accepts it. Not everyone will actually listen. Some people just reject it. They like the mess that they're in, so to speak. I've described what I heard T.D. Jakes speak about, the difference between a pig and a lamb falling in the mud, right? They both fall in the mud, but if the lamb falls in the mud, he's scrambling to try and get out. The pig falls in the mud and says, this feels pretty good. You know, if you're the lamb, you're going to scramble to get out of the mud. You're not going to like it. You're not going to want to stay there. And that's when God's grace can be effective. But if you're like the pig and you start to feel, oh, this mud feels good, then God's grace is not going to really be effective to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace who hath called. God is always calling us. Always calling us, even when we're messing up. Even, and that proves he loves us. Because if it was up, when we see someone mess up, we say, okay, I'm finished with that. I'm not dealing with that. But God is still reaching out. God is still, you know, Sister Johnny, I'm going to pick on you as an example, right? Because you love your daughter. And no matter what she's doing, you're still loving her. You're still reaching out. And that is what God is doing to us. You know, I hate to pick on you, but you're such a good example when it comes to that. You know, you're such a good example. And although it's painful because of your love for her, you have not given up. You have not, and that's how God is with us. And any good parent, that's how it is when even though our children do all kinds. So I could pick on you, Sister Anita. I know you know you've been through some things. Amen. But when you love your child, imagine that's how God loves us. And many times when my children do things and I get mad at them, she said, yes, I do. You know what? Sometimes I have to check myself and say, wait a minute, Lord, are you showing me something? Are you showing me something? And I have to check myself and I realize that's me and that's how God looks at me. He's not pleased with me, but the reason why is because he loves me. Sister Johnny.
Yes, Pastor, I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. And it just shows you as a parent, because yes, it does hurt. And yes, at times I do want to give up. And yes, at times I do want to run. But I can see in my life that God has used this. He's using this situation to put me in line with his word. And it's so amazing at how God works, you know, because when you... If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized, that means you belong to Christ. And that means that everything in your life is going to work for the good. No matter how God has to use somebody else to line you up, that's exactly what he's going to do. And I look at my daughter and I just thank God, because it's been going on so long, I'm tired, but yet and still, I ask God to give me the strength, because at times in my own life, when I need God, he shows me that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me, no matter what I do. And I just want to thank him this morning and give him all the praise for that.
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm going to show you a scripture which you know very well, but that lines up with what you just said. Which lines up with what you just said, how God's grace works in certain situations. It says, but when God who set me apart and called me by his grace, that's Galatians. You see, what we have to do is learn to understand how much God loves us. And if we did, just as how much you love your daughter, and maybe she doesn't understand how much you love her. Let's go on. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's through God's grace, through Jesus Christ, that we can come to the Father. Because he's always wooing us. Of course, the great example is the prodigal son parable of how the father was out there every day looking, waiting. And as soon as the son decided to accept or to reach out for grace, it says the father saw him when he was yet afar off. The moment he decided to leave the pig pen and come, the father saw him afar off. The father was already making plans. He said, okay, go get the ring, go get the robe, go kill the fatted calf. He hadn't yet come home. He saw him afar off. That's God's grace. The moment we reach out and say, Lord, I repent. I'm seeking you, Lord. He's ready to take us back. That's how we get the victory, because that so messes up Satan's plan. Because he would like to see each and every one of us destroyed. Our faith taken away. That's what all... So when he sees us even turn a little bit, he knows the Father's love is so strong. Amen. Sister Browning.
Doesn't have a particular scripture to go with it, but I heard somebody say that, you know, we're all going to fail in life and fall short. But the failure is not in falling short. or even sinning or disappointing God. The failure is when you stay down and don't get up, because God's grace is there to pick you up. And so it's just a matter of us choosing to get up instead of staying down.
Amen. Amen. I think the scripture says the righteous man falleth down 7 times. Amen. But you have to get up, because Satan's job is to make you fall. Satan's job is to give you doubts, to make you feel hopeless, to take away your faith. But it's God's grace that counteracts. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat." He wants us blown away by life's winds, by circumstances that comes through our lives, by people in our lives. But he said, "I have prayed that your faith fail not." It's God's grace that saved Peter when he denied him 3 times, when he cussed, when he swore, right in his presence. Think about that. And he had been with him for 3.5 years. He'd seen so many miracles. He had done all kinds of things with Peter. And yet, when he was there, Peter cursed him out. Cursed him out 3 times. And it was God's grace. Because, and I'll let you speak, after the resurrection, Peter, after he cursed him out, the Bible said he realized what he'd done. He wept. He went away and wept bitterly.
That's right.
But you know what? He must have thought, how could God still love me?
That's right.
But listen, as soon as the resurrection happened and Mary came to the tomb, he told Mary, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter."
That's right. And Peter.
And Peter. He mentioned him by name. Because he knew how Peter must have felt. He says, "Go tell my disciples that I have risen. And make sure you tell Peter so that he knows that I have grace and love for him." Think about that. That's what saved Peter. Peter could have been so discouraged. Sister Johnny.
Amen. Praise God, Pastor. I just wanted to say that grace is really so deep until it's amazing, because I can't even explain it. But God gave me a revelation about grace. And when you get that real revelation about grace, it is words that just cannot be uttered, because that scripture that says, "He who the Son set free is free indeed."
Amen.
That scripture is like a grace scripture when you really like look at it.
Amen. That is true. Grace is unfathomable, because it's not something we deserve. And I was going to try and find the scripture. I didn't put it in here. Where he said to Peter, he said to Mary, "Make sure you let Peter know. Go and tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen, and that I will meet them." You know, it was just so amazing, because Peter, after he did it and the cock crowed, is when it came back to him that Jesus just the other day, the day before, had predicted this would happen. But it was God's love and grace that saved him. Amen. I'm going to try and find the scripture.
While you're finding that, I've got one other thing.
Praise God. But the fact that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and the fact that God responded to him after he sought the Lord 3 times and said, instead of taking it away, but said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Knowing that God knows that we have weaknesses. But he's so giving Satan a black eye. He said, doesn't matter what weaknesses you have. My grace is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So you can't lose. Even if you're weak. Even if you're failing. You can't lose, because my grace has covered it all. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, she took my scripture, because I'm going to be... That's one of the ones I'm coming to. But I just want to read this. "And very early in the morning," this is Mark 16:2, "they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" That's another message right there. The stone had already been rolled away. The problem they thought existed, God had already fixed it. "And entering into the sepulchre," verse 4, "and when they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away, for it was very great. And entering the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and he saith to them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Specifically, he was called out by name because he had done such a terrible thing. He had cursed out and swore, said a lot of curse words. I don't know him. But God's grace, this is the victory. it's grace through faith. Amen. There shall you see him. And he said unto them, go. See, he called him out by name. And this is what enables our salvation. This is part of the victory. Amen. Let's go on. In Zechariah 3:1, it explains what grace is. It's a covering. It's a covering. Because grace covers all our mistakes and our sins. See, if I had a tattoo on my belly right now, you guys couldn't know. You'd never know because you've never seen me without a shirt. Because I'm covered. I could have a terrible tattoo there, but it says all kinds of horrible things, or a picture, but you'd never know why. You will never see my belly. Why? Every time you see me, I'm going to be covered. That's what grace is. That's how we get victory. Because although we may have terrible things, we're covered. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament. In Zechariah 3:1, the vision appeared to the prophet, and he saw the high priest, whose name was just happened to be Joshua. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. That's what's going to happen. He's always going to be hanging around. How can I make their day terrible today? How can I ruin it today? The kids will be sick. You'll lose the car keys. How can I just take away their joy and their peace? Standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. See, in our flesh, there's nothing pretty about me. I could be mean and horrible. I can, you just don't know me. And stood before the angel. See, and he answered and spake unto him and said, take away these filthy garments from him. See, God took it away. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And here's the key. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. In the Laodicean church in Revelation, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me clothes, garments, tried in the fire, to hide our wretchedness and nakedness. That's what grace is. It covers us, covers our faults, covers our sins. Amen. You see, if you're covered, then you're not ashamed. Adam and Eve hid because they were ashamed, because suddenly they realized they were naked. Their glory, their covering had gone. Revelation speaks about the time when our accuser is finally going to be thrown down. One of my favorite verses. Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now. That's what I'm waiting for. In my understanding and how I believe, this verse describes the rapture. Because when he's cast out, that's when comes salvation. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Remember what this is about? Victory. Victory. Because the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before God day and night, is cast out. See, Satan, his job is to sow doubt, to sow fear, to make you feel, how is this ever going to work out? How are we ever going to get the victory? But one of these days, the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast out. You have a comment, sir?
I just want to say one thing. That's a verse of the Bible that says in Jeremiah 17:5-9. It said, curses the man to put his trust in man, that make it his heart depart from God. But see, one thing about me, I love all people, and I appreciate being here. You know what I'm saying? But see, all this violence, people don't come to church. We are here, and we appreciate being here. That's the main thing. Acknowledge that. And I love you to death, forever. Jesus said one thing. Your sins are departed by what? And I seek forgiveness.
Well, the Bible does say by grace are we saved, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Of course.
Amen.
Right.
Well, thank you for your comments, sir. Amen. You want to take a seat? Okay, after church then.
Amen.
It's Christ's victory for us by grace that the accuser of the brethren is going to be what? Cast down. And that's what he does every single day. And it doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian or if you've been in church 40 years. He's going to come and try and bring accusations, because in Zechariah, who was he accusing? It was the high priest. Who was the high priest's name? Look at that, Joshua. That's to show you that don't be surprised if the devil will come against you, because his job is to sow fear and discord. But one day, Revelation 12 verse 10 says, now is come what? Salvation. That's the day I'm looking for. That's the day I'm waiting for. That's the day I'm hoping for. Amen. Because when that angel says with a loud voice, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Amen. That's the day I've been waiting for. Amen. I don't think I'm going to be sad. I'm not going to, even just thinking about it, gives me a smile. Gives me a smile. Because if I think about all the things that we are dealing with on earth, amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. Amen. See, he's coming back for those who are looking for his appearance. I'm not looking to achieve anything much down here except to be his servant. Amen. Now, let's go on. I want to explain how we get victory through God's grace. And of course, the greatest example, or one in the New Testament, is the woman that was caught, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery. John chapter 8, verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. It seems an open and shut case, right? Open and shut case. And now, here's the accusation. See, the devil was using these people. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say? What do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, as though he didn't even hear them.
I want you to think about that in terms of the devil. Do you understand what, put that in terms of the devil accusing you to Jesus? He's not listening. Do you understand? He's not listening. It's not that it wasn't true. They caught her in the very act. Jesus was showing something here. I'm not listening to you, Satan. I'm not listening to the accusers. That's grace. He was not listening. Let me say it again. He was not listening. That means the accusation is not going to stand. But she was caught in the very act. The law of Moses said she should be stoned. Bible says he did not answer them. He didn't listen. He went on and just started writing. And I've said before what I thought he was writing. So when they continued asking him, finally lifted up himself. I can imagine Jesus saying this to Satan. You're making accusations, Satan, but what about you? If you have no sin, do you understand? Satan actually can't cast any stones by what Jesus said because he himself has sinned. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jesus said he didn't say you people. He said anyone who that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So Satan too can't actually do anything to you without God's permission because he too is not sinless. Bible speaks about him in Ezekiel and says that he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. So when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And when they had heard it, now, this is the reason why I think he was writing something about them. It said, being convicted by their own conscience. By their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. This is a victory over the accusers. That's why it's a victory through Christ, through grace. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It wasn't that she hadn't sinned, but he wasn't looking at the accusers. Why? It was grace. The law condemned her, but grace saved her. Hallelujah. Who did it? Through Christ. That word condemned, I taught about it before. And in this particular instance, it's katakrino. And it means to give judgment against. Jesus said, listen, I did not come to condemn, but that through him, people should be saved. He said he didn't come to condemn. Now the word that I speak, that will condemn. But right now he didn't come to condemn. He came to do what? Save that which was lost. Isn't that great? Just like he didn't listen to the accusers. The law accuses us. But Jesus wasn't listening. And it wasn't that they were even guessing. She was caught in the very act. Of course, we don't know why they didn't bring the man. Seems a little bit unfair there, doesn't it? What happened to the man? But he is not listening. He is not listening to the accusation. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's not what? Listening to Satan's accusations. Isn't that what the scripture says? Amen. That's why we can have the victory. Do you know who that woman was? It was Mary. It was Mary,
the sister of Martha. We see that later on in the scripture that I showed you. And she was the one that kept and wept at his feet, because the Bible says those who have been forgiven much do what? Love much. That's why I need to love him a lot. I have been forgiven much. God's grace and his unmerited favor has been given to me. Amen. It's been given to you. It's been shared. Hallelujah. So we have a lot to thank him for. Victory through Christ, saved by his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it's not that we're perfect, but we're blameless. It's not that we're not guilty, but the blame is not being what? Imputed. Hallelujah. Romans 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. David was given grace even when he had sinned, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are what? Covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's just an awesome scripture. Do you understand that the woman, God did not count it against her? He wasn't listening to the accusers. When they came and said, she's been caught in the very act of adultery, he said, neither do I condemn thee. That means it went in here and went out there. He did not hold it against her. And so that's what gives us victory, that he, through Christ, amen, we triumph over Satan because his accusations are not being listened to.
Amen.
Amen. That's worth an amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. I'm going to hurry here. So this is the scripture that kind of sums it up. And it's kind of counterintuitive. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. It wasn't anything good that woman had done. She'd been sinful. No doubt about it. But his grace is sufficient. You've been praying for something and it hasn't happened yet? His grace is sufficient. His love is sufficient. Amen? You've been praying for something and it still is there? This is such an awesome scripture. This is the scripture I was reading when I had my Damascus Road experience. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I was reading at the back of this table in 2004 at a conference, and God dealt with me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That lady who was brought, from then on her life was changed. It seems counterintuitive that when you're weak, you can be strong, because it's not your strength. This is the victory. This is what I'm talking about, victory through Christ, because through his grace, we are made strong. It's grace, listen to this very carefully, is where your power begins. It's grace is where our power begins. Paul said this, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Doesn't seem to make sense as far as the world is concerned. But what could they do to the lady after Jesus said, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Amen? What could they say? Nothing. Nothing. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's God's grace that ultimately gives us the victory. In our flesh, we can't stand up against Satan. We couldn't deny. She couldn't deny. She couldn't deny and said, I didn't do it. Under the law, she would be dead. She couldn't deny it. But what she could say after Jesus made his statement is, there are no more accusers. They're all gone. That's grace. Grace refutes accusations. Accusations can't stand under grace. When we're covered by his grace, all that ugliness, all of the scars do not show. Amen?
Amen.
Paul in verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities,
That means weaknesses, in reproaches, in need, necessities, when you need, when he doesn't have stuff, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Wow, that's a mouthful. You know why Paul realized that it's when we're helpless, when we don't know where to turn, when we're at our bottom, when we're at our last dime, when we're at our rope's end, that it gives God the ability to demonstrate his power. That's when his power is demonstrated, is when but when we think we got it, when we think we're sufficient, when we think we got it all worked out, what we're actually doing is shutting God out. But when we don't know where to turn, if we truly understood that, that's when we should start to get excited. Okay, miracle's about to happen here. There's no other way. God, there's going to have to be a miracle here. There's going to have to be deliverance here. There is no other way. There is no other way. And when we get to that place, we have victory through Christ. Sister Johnny.
I just want to say, Pastor, I have found myself in that place to where God is showing me. In fact, the other day when God spoke to me and said, when the valley is filling up, he said, the water overtakes you. Get prepared because you're going to walk on water. So God is showing me in my life that it's not by the things that I might want or the things I do, but God is showing me how to trust him. It's so amazing how God works, because he can take you up, but yet and still he can bring you back down so that he can show you, you know, where he's at in your life, and so that you can be able to trust him. But just on that note, this morning, I was probably worried about some little things, because I see something that God is doing in my life, and I'm beginning to trust him more. But he spoke to me this morning about some money, and I was debating as to what to do with the money. And God spoke to me, and he said to me, how could you even think about giving somebody else some money when you haven't even given me my share? And I stopped my truck and I began to ponder on the thought. And it made me cry, because I thought about everything that I have come from God. Everything that you got came from God. If God is the one who gave you breath, he the one who gave you strength, he the one who gave you the job, he the one who made the money, he the one who did everything in your life, how could you take what God has given you and give to somebody else, and you can't give back to God?
Amen. Amen. You know, that's why we see that same Mary, right? What did she do later? She took this alabaster jar, right? That was very expensive. We don't know how much it cost, but it was very expensive. In fact, Judas complained about it, right? And she took it and she gave it and poured it all over Jesus, because she realized he had actually given her life. Those people were going to stone her. Those people were going to stone her. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? God gives us everything: breath, strength, everything, everything, everything. So when we get to that point where we are hopeless is where God's strength can be manifest. I'm almost finished. And of course, lastly, grace is what allows us into his presence. Another of my favorite verses. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace. That's why part of the victory through Christ is his grace, is his grace, is his love. If we could understand that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When do we need grace? In time of need. When you don't need, when things, you know, that woman needed it, they were about to kill her, they're about to stone her to death. That's when she needed God's grace. When she was weak, when she was helpless. All Jesus had to say, well, carry out Moses' law. But instead, God's grace ignored, did not listen to the accusers. I'm telling you today,
In Christ, he's not listening to your accusers. He's not listening to all of your faults and failures, because he has put a covering of grace upon you. He's put a covering of grace upon you. Almost finished. Christ's gift of grace is what leads us to perfection. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Here's the part. "After that you have" what? "Suffered a while, will make you perfect." Oh, it's so hard, at least for me anyway, to accept anything. Compliments, whatever. I find it so hard. Maybe it's pride. Pray for me. But if we will submit, if we will get to the place, sometimes God has to take us to that place where there is no other help but through God. "After that ye have suffered a while, make you" what? "Perfect." "Establish," "strengthen," and "settle you." Settle you. So that you are settled, that you're not blown about, that you're not here today, gone tomorrow, you know, up and down, but settle you. After you've been through some things, you can be settled, because you've been that, done that. You know God can deliver you. I've used the example so many times, but David said, "God has helped me kill a lion and kill a bear, so okay, Goliath, you're a big dude, but you're not going to get through this, because I come in the name of the Lord Jesus." Hallelujah. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's God's gift of his grace that helps us gain the victory. It's when we are weak, when we're depressed, if we can just believe God just for a little bit and understand, and that there is going to be a victory. There's going to be a victory. Amen? Let's stand. Amen. Victory through God's grace. This is this week's lesson. Because without his grace, we would have to stand upon our own achievement, our own doings, our own situation, our own works. But just like in the Old Testament there, he took off the filthy garments. He said, "I've got clean raiment. I've got a covering." You can't see all the mess that's there, that was there, because he's covered. And so as Hebrews 4:16 says, I can come boldly, not hesitantly, but boldly to a throne of grace. That we can find mercy in a time of need. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God's grace? The next time you mess up and the accusers drag you before Jesus, you know what he's doing? Bible said he went and wasn't listening. I've already paid for that on Calvary. It is finished. Man's redemption is... He's not listening. He's not listening. And as long as you respond to the grace of God, you can have victory. You can have victory. You will have victory. That's the example. The Bible said he started right. He wasn't listening. Not listening. The law accuses. Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's how we have victory. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me as we close this Sunday school. Lord, we just thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary, that through you, through your grace, Lord, we can stand here this morning, that we can have the victory, hallelujah, over sin, over the accuser of the brethren.